am excited before the Lord. Are you excited to be in the house of God? Amen. It's a delight to be in the house of God this morning. And just to celebrate for the life that the Lord has given us, even for us to be in the house of God this morning, it is just a privilege because there are so many people that would have wanted to be in the house of God or just to be up and about and moving, but they were unable to do so. But the Lord extended that purpose for you this morning to come to the house of God and to join with other believers, and so that we can get excited and just come into the house of God and worship the Lord all together. Amen. How many people have their Bibles? I'll ask again. I know Pastor asked you. Can you wave your Bible to the Lord? Amen. Okay, how many people have their notebooks? Did you carry your notebook? Okay. I didn't say a paper, a notebook. Wave your notebook to the Lord. Okay. This is the new system we are gonna have. When you come to the house of God, we are gonna come with a Bible and a notebook. Somebody say a notebook. Did you hear that? It is a wise thing to come with a notebook because this year, if you like me are planning to move from a place called here to a place called there, then it is going to be necessary for us to jot down the things that the Lord will be speaking to us along the year. Amen? We had some very, very precious teachings, a series of the fundamental doctrines of Christ. And you know what? By June, I'm gonna ask you, what did we learn in January? And you can always go back to your notes and refer to what you learned. Amen? So next Sunday, if you don't come with a notebook, I'll buy you one because I'm really, really serious about it. Is that Sister Jane? Oh, my goodness. I can't even recognize you. How are you? When did you come here, Jenny? Oh, praise the Lord. Can you tell us where you've been?
Well,
I was not even recognizing her.
Oh, praise be to God. Amen. My name is Jane. Uh-huh. He loves me even before I love him. He's a wonderful God. I came from Seattle for a visit to my brothers and sisters. And I will go back, but I miss this church so much. Amen. I really miss it.
Hallelujah. Amen. It is nice to see Jane. Jane is one of the very founders. You know, when we started the church, she was always there. And I could not recognize you've changed. You become younger. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So next Sunday, come with a notebook. Do you all agree? Huh? And a pen. A Bible, a notebook, and a pen. And at some point, I'm going to ask you to give me your notebook to see what you've been doing. No, seriously, I'm going to ask you to give me your Bible and a notebook, and I'll go with it, and I'll go home and bring it next Sunday and give you some. No, seriously. We're in a serious business of serving the Lord. Amen? So please, next Sunday, come with a Bible, your notebook, and a pen. And I need you to be writing down everything that is said on this Bible college here. Praise the Lord. Anyway, I'm so grateful to the Lord. I want to appreciate the servants of God that the Lord has given us to minister the word of the Lord. Thank you. Thank you so much for the work that you do behind the scenes. I know I'm aware of how most of you call some of them, and you pray together, and they cry with you, and they intercede for you, and they are there, always there for you, and they are praying for you. Praise the Lord. Some of them, from time to time, especially in 2012, will have an opportunity to come and minister the word of the Lord here. And I just want to thank God even for the series that we just concluded about the doctrines of Christ, the fundamental doctrines of Christ. We could not go farther, or in other words, you know, those are just the fundamental, the milk, the spiritual milk that every one of us, as long as you're born again and as long as you're in a new birth, there are basic principles that we need to have as children of God. Praise be to God. And it is very, very necessary and very, very important for us to delve and to ruminate on the Word of God. I'm excited about 2012 because God, God spoke to me, particularly when we were praying, that it is time for us to prepare to extend the place of our tents. Praise be to God. That was the word of God for us this year. Prepare the place, prepare to expand the place of our tents in 2012. God will move us from a place called here to a place called there. But it's going to involve a process for us to get from a place called here to a place called there. Praise be to God. And if you can stay with us in 2012, I am really, really confident that you will learn something, because there's a process, there's going to be a system and fundamental principles that we will learn in order for us. It is not just, you cannot just wake up any morning and decide to just expand the place of it. It's the spiritual principle. Praise be to God. And we have to learn. We have to really will and have a willingness within our hearts to know, what will it take for me to expand my tent so that I can change my life, so that I can change my position as a born-again Christian. Praise be to God. And let me tell you, as the senior elder of our ministry, I have told the Lord I want to take the lead. Praise be to God. There are certain things that I'm learning. I want to learn and to know how much. I want to pray more. I want to study the Word of God more. I want to spend my time more in the presence of the Lord. Because if I fail to do that, then most of you will miss the direction. Praise be to God. But how many of you know that if I'm well connected with the source, if I'm well connected with my Father, then I'll be able to offer concrete direction for all of us. Praise be to God. We are going to learn in the next few weeks. We're going to get ourselves into a series. And if you can remember, in the beginning of the year, I set forward I gave a focus of what the Lord is intending to accomplish, among us as this year. I told you, for some of you, for the benefits of those who are not here, that I feel that it is time for us to have a new building. I feel it is time for us to begin to affect our community by feeding them. It is time for us to meet the needs that are within the local body by feeding, by giving food to some of us who are going hungry and without food. So we are going to set up a pantry, and we set up some committees, and I thank God for the work that is going so far. Praise be to God. I also put a focus that we are going to have focused teachings this year, teachings that are going to help us, and so that we can learn the patterns that are in the Bible that will move us from a place called here to a place called there. Because I am very, very aware, church, that most of us came from different backgrounds, and that is okay. I grew up in a ministry, not this one here. You know, I didn't just wake up and found myself at ECC. No, I grew up in a certain church, and there are some principles that I learned that later I came to learn, oh, that was not the right way. And when I knew the right way, then I appreciated it. Praise be to God. Sometimes we live in ignorance, and we do not know that we live in ignorance. But praise be to God, because we have the Word of God that is able to enlighten us, and we are able to, if we are able to have an opportunity to delve into the Word of God, praise be to God. And in the presence of men and women that God has chosen among us so that they can minister to the body, praise be to God. Hallelujah. So if you can stay with us in 2012, I promise you, I dare promise you, we are going to learn some nice things in the Word of God. And so we are going to have focused teachings. And I just want to talk about moving forward. What is it going to take for us to move forward? It is just going to be a preliminary structure of what I'm going to be sharing. I'm excited. I'm so excited about some things that I've learned. I've also learned so many things that I didn't know. And as I stand before you, church, I don't want you to see me as one who is well accomplished. No, I am still learning. Praise be to God. I am learning, and I'm eager to learn much, much more like you. If I can put you in a place if I can show you some gold somewhere, I want to be among you so that I can go for that gold. Praise be to God. And I am eager in 2012. Church, I'm excited. And I want you to catch up the fire, to catch up the spirit that we want to learn. We don't want to be like any other church anywhere. We want to be a men and women of that will create a difference within where we are. Praise be to God. Every single one of us has a role in the body of Christ. Every single one of us has been called into the ministry. Praise be to God. The ministry has not only been delegated or just to just a few men and women in a local body. See, a church like this one, we are a small microcosm of what a family is. And just like we have families, we all come from different families. Praise be to God. You have a family. You come from a family. You come from a family. You come from a family. Now, a family is known as a functional family when everybody carries their responsibility, when everybody does what they are supposed to do. The role of a father is to provide guidance in a family. He's supposed to be the high priest of that home. He's supposed to provide direction and counsel. He's supposed to love his wife. Praise be to God. He's supposed to offer direction to his children. The role of the wife is to submit to the husband. He is supposed to take care of some, there are some responsibilities that a mother, a woman, is supposed to carry in a family. When she carries her responsibilities, when her father carries her responsibilities, when the children carry their responsibilities, which is to obey their parents and to do what they are supposed to do, then that is regarded as a functional family. Praise be to God. And what is a dysfunctional family? A dysfunctional family is where somebody fails to take their responsibility. For example, a father fails to love their wife. Their father cares to provide for their family. A father cares to, he neglects his responsibility. You know, where a mother neglects her responsibility. She doesn't even submit to her husband. That family can be regarded as a dysfunctional family. But I thank God, because when we are called in a local body like this, we are called as a family, and God expects us to be a functional family. Praise be to God. In other words, you have a role to play in this local body. I have a role to play as a senior elder of this church, as a member of a family. Praise be to God. Now, when everybody carries their own responsibility, oh my goodness, what a harmony, what a unity that there's going to be seen from that family. Do you know that sometimes you don't even have to rebuke the devil in Jesus' name? Sometimes we just have to be united. Sometimes we just have to carry our own responsibility, and the devil will stay out of our parameters. Are you listening to me, somebody? When you hook up to a team of believers, everybody does what they're supposed to do. The enemy will be stayed out, because the enemy comes and plants seeds of discord, and that is the only way he has a right to a team of believers. The devil can be stayed out from within us if we are united and we carry our own responsibilities. Are you listening to me, somebody? Hallelujah. Every one of us has been called into a ministry, and every one of us has a ministry. And in the weeks to come, except this coming Sunday, of course, and this Sunday we also have something structured that is gonna complement what I'm gonna talk about today. Praise be to God. In readiness for the series that we're gonna have, please, I want you, if you're not gonna be in church, please get a CD, particularly even in the series that Pastor Karanja spoke about, the elementary doctrines of Christ. Get yourself a CD. Amen? Go listen to it so that you can be part and parcel of what is going here in the local family. Praise be to God. If I came home from a long trip within the house, I want to know how my son has been doing in school, how my daughter has been doing in school. I want to ask my wife, is everything okay in the home? I update myself because I am part of that family. Amen? So we have to be concerned about the affairs of this local chasm that the Lord has given us. Is everybody listening to me? I want you to turn out your Bibles, or our Bibles, in the book of Philippians 3, chapter number 3, verse 8 to 16. I'm going to go very quick today. I also want to be disciplined this year about finishing on time so that I can let you go on time. Amen? And make sure that you're also blessed. Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 8 to 16. I'm going to ask Minister Julius to read for me if he has found it. Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 8 to 16. Actually, read to 15. I think that will still be okay. Okay.
Yeah, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the conformable unto his death.
Amen.
By any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may be apprehended, if I may apprehend that for which also I apprehended Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Getting those things which are behind.
Amen.
And reaching forth unto those things which are before.
Amen.
Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded.
Mm-hmm.
Anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even these unto you.
Hallelujah. And bless the name of the Lord. I am so excited about this text, about what Paul wrote to the Philippians. By the way, when any epistle is being written, it is addressed to a particular body, and we also need to include ourselves, because let me tell you, even though we don't have Philippians today in this local body, what happened during those times also affects us. So we need to apply ourselves to any epistle that is written and directed to us. This is Paul writing to the church in Philippi. And he is admonishing them. You know the history. I don't want to go into great details about Paul. But you know, Paul was a chief Pharisee. He was a persecutor of Christians. He was a real Hebrew. The Bible says actually, he was second. He says actually in one of the places, if you read from the beginning of verse 1, that if anybody had the confidence of the flesh, he was the one. Because he was circumcised on the eighth day. Praise be to God. He was the Hebrew of the Hebrew. He just came from the tribe of Benjamin. In other words, he stood everything. And before the law of the day, what he was doing even to the church, the persecutions that he did to the church was regardless as blameless. In other words, as far as Paul looked at him, as far as Paul was concerned, to the Pharisees, he was okay persecuting the Christians, praise be to God. And he says, you know what? I count everything as loss compared to acquiring the knowledge of Jesus Christ through faith, who has redeemed me. Praise be to God. I count everything as loss compared to this surpassing knowledge that I have received, the salvation that we have received from the Lord. The knowledge of him who has redeemed us. I compare that. I cannot even equate it to anything. It is incomparable to the gains that I thought I had when I was a Pharisee. I cannot even put it in the same level. When I know what Jesus Christ has done, and when I know that what he is just about to do in my life, oh, glory be to God. When I know the plan that he has for my life, when I really know the bigger picture of his intentions of calling me out of sin and redeeming me and making me his own child, I cannot put it in the same level in the things that I was elevated in while I was a Pharisee. And so I count everything as loss. I even count everything that I gained as done. And Paul says that I actually have lost everything for the sake of Christ. Glory be to Jesus. I just want to put it across to you that there are some patterns that we can get that are laid out in Scripture that we have to consciously apply ourselves to if we want to move from a place called here to a place called there. Praise be to God. And this is what I put down, and I say this, that there will have to be an intentional decision inside of our hearts to pursue the knowledge of God through faith in Jesus Christ against all competing ideals in our hearts. Glory be to Jesus. Let me tell you, church. Do you know what? If you have a problem in giving to the Lord, that is not the problem. If you don't come to the meetings, that's not the problem. The problem is in knowing that the principal thing is looking at Christ and the pursuit of his knowledge through faith in Christ Jesus. That is where everything will begin for us, church. Let me tell you, when the matters of the heart are taken care of, when the matters, the issues of the heart are taken care of. And I want to put across to you that within our lives, even before we were generated by the Lord, there was sin that reigned in us. And let me tell you that when we got born again, the body didn't get born again. And that's why the Bible admonishes us that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Hallelujah. The eternal relationship that has been created by Jesus Christ is perfect because he who has called us is perfect. So the relationship between you and God is perfect. When God looks at you, he does not look at you with an aim to condemn you just because you fell short of what you expected to do. In the Old Testament, he did, and he killed so many people. Hallelujah. But now that you've come into the new birth, your relationship with God is completely perfect. And for us to acquire, to get to a place whereby we will acquire to perfection, then we have to work hard. And the work that God has called us is to realize that my main objective now that I am born again, it is to pursue God and to pursue his knowledge and to understand him and to understand his plan concerning my life and to understand the mission for which he has pulled me out of a quagmire of sin and delivered me. Glory be to Jesus. Paul was very active in his duties and in what he knew that was right. He followed everything to the letter. He put a cross to a T and put a dot on an I. He pursued Christians because in the day they thought they were going against the rule of the law of the day. So he was pursuing what he thought was right. But when he realized, when God called him on his way to Damascus and he blinded him and he told him that now you have to change your course. I have to turn you around and call you unto myself because I see the zeal. If only I can take that zeal and redirect it to the right course. Oh my God, I cannot believe what you can do. And that is exactly what God did for Paul. He took him. He picked up his zeal. He never even condemned him, but he showed him what was right and what he was supposed to be applied to, picked him out of his mission to persecute Christians, and he brought him into his light. Are you understanding what I'm trying to tell you? There are things that we have coherent teachings and doctrines that we have acquired or things that we have gone naturally and they have impeded us and they have pinned us down so that every single moment we want to forge ahead, we are dragged down by those things. Every time you want to make a step forward, then you feel like you are dragging. The problem is not that it's not even the devil trying to pull you back, but there are some patterns that we have to apply ourselves into in the principles of the Word of God. And let me tell you, everything is going to be okay. Are you listening to what I'm trying to say? And Paul looked at all this. He says, I regard everything, all the gains, as nothing compared to the surpassing glory that I have received. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. What are these competing things within us that we need to make an intentional decision to follow and elevate ourselves and pull those things aside so that we can remain with this single focus, with this single agenda that I am going to pursue God. It doesn't matter what it's going to take. I am going to pray. If I need to pray so that I can acquire this, I'm going to pray. If I need to read the Word of God, if I need to search the Scriptures, if I need to sit under Pastor Karanja, if I need to sit under Pastor Judith, if I need to sit under Sister Noel, I am determined to sit under the man, the counsel of the man of God, because I need to know the knowledge of him that has called me. Church, let me tell you, how is it going to be when we get into the judgment seat of God? We were taught about that. And it is an opportunity, because let me tell you, as we speak about these things, they shall surely come to pass. What shall it be when God has put everything within our reach that we were supposed to do here on earth? And the Lord comes, because let me tell you, we are accountable to God in everything that we do. Every little detail, we are accountable to God. What is it going to be when I stand before my father and he is telling me, Tony, why did you not do A, B, and C and it was within your reach? What am I going to tell God? Hallelujah. Then we need to arise and do what it is necessary. We must walk the walk of him that has called it while it is still day. For night cometh when no man can walk no more. Are you listening to me, church? Some of us have been in 2011. We were dragged down by things that could not even give us an opportunity to solve. Let me tell you, there's some certain things that I went through in 2011 that really completely almost surrounded me. And it was, I only had a little glimpse, a little window to just get out and begin to serve the Lord. And I know what it takes. I know what it feels. I know what it feels. Guys, I know what it feels. Even to walk into those doors of the church and you don't even have a single offering to the Lord. I'm not castigating anybody for not bringing the offering to the house of God. Because you may not even have anything to bring into the house of God. But I realize one thing. There are some principles that I need to apply myself unto. They are simple principles. If I can pursue God and determine, you know, you'll be surprised, church, that it doesn't really take much. And every long journey begins with a single step. Are you listening to me? Every single journey. If you want to go to school, you have to make some application. You have to walk yourself into the registrar's office and apply for the class that you want to attend. If you want to start a certain career, you have to go into the computer and begin to research about the career. You have to begin with a certain. If you want to get married, you have to really tune your mind and begin to go to meetings where singles are and begin to identify. If you want whatever you want, you have to begin with a single step. If you want to start a business, talk to somebody who is a businessman and might give you a knowledge of how you can become a businessman. Everything that you want to do will begin with a single step. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Listen, some of the things. It is God's intention for us to prosper. In other words, there's things that could have really pressed you down so that when you looked on your left, when you looked on your right, when you looked on your rear, there was no answer. Have you been in a place like that before, church? Have you really? Have you been in a place whereby, man, you looked at your left? Do I really call Pastor Julius? Oh, I don't think he can help me. Do I really call Pastor? Do I really call Noel? Oh, no, I don't think she can handle this. Do I call Junior on this one? No. And man, you say, the only person who can come to deliver me is Jesus. Have you been in a place like that? Now, the Lord wants to move us from certain places that have really pushed us down to a place called here. And it is the Lord's will, he says, in the book of 1 John chapter number 1, verses 2, beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper. In all respects you may prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers. How is your soul going to prosper? Your soul is going to prosper when you're focused, when you know the mission that the Lord has called you. And when you look at him and you say, I choose to pursue his knowledge through faith in Christ Jesus. I choose to pursue him regardless of what happens. I choose to put everything aside. Because I know the moment I begin to pursue the knowledge of God, these other things will also be added to me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And all these things, other things will be done what? Will be added unto us. 1 Peter chapter number 2, talking about the things that compete within us that will cause us to make determined effort to pursue the knowledge of God. 1 Peter chapter number 2, the Bible says, verse number 1, 1 Peter chapter number 2, write this down, and you can go read it at home. I want to go real, real fast. So put away all what? Put away all malice and all. Do you know what malice is? Can somebody tell us what malice is? Guys, am I the only one who... Are we together? Do you know what malice is? Okay. I want you to write this down. Malice is an intention to cause harm to your brother. An intention to cause harm to somebody else. All right? An intention to cause harm. Have you ever intended to cause harm? You know that, you know, you see, oh my goodness, this brother is really prospering. And you know, I'm going to undercut them. And you report them to the IRS. Have you had stories like that? People called on the IRS because of they see you prospering, God. Whatever you touch, it is prospering. Whatever you touch, it is prospering. No, something has to happen to this. You plot evil against your brother. You plot evil against your sister. Have you ever plotted evil against one another? Have you ever seen people plotting evil against each other? Brothers who love each other? Sisters who love each other? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 9, but you still have to love me anyway. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Have you tasted that the Lord is good? Have you tasted that the Lord is good, church? Oh, it's all, I'm only seeing Pastor Francis here just noting. Have you tasted that the Lord is good? Then if we have tasted that the Lord is good, there are certain things that the enemy will throw at you, because the enemy can throw anything at you. And if he finds a habitation, that thing will land on you. It doesn't matter whether we are born again. I can be malicious. I can have malice, and I can plot evil against you. Even though I'm born again, I can plot it. But the Bible says, keep away all malice. So put away all malice. Anything that is going to be a destruction to your brother, because we are members of one body. God, can you understand this? We are a family. We are members of one family. We cannot destroy one another. We cannot plot against one another. How can you plot against your foot that you say, man, tomorrow my foot, I'm going to slice it. You know, you determine, you even go to a shop in Home Depot and buy a machete. Yeah? And you go sharpen it and you say, this one is to destroy my foot tomorrow. My foot, get ready. And the foot doesn't know. So the foot is walking your way actually to Home Depot, and actually even with a swagger to Home Depot, and is buying all that machete. And you're buying a machete to come and destroy your foot. Can you really do that? If you cannot do that to the member of your body, if you know how to treat the members of our body, if you know how to take care of the members of those bodies, how much more we need to take care of each other. No one is perfect. And I thank God for the women of our ministry. You did good the other day to go visit somebody who was in trouble. You showed up. Amen? Let me tell you, God is telling us to change to have a paradigm shift in what we think. It is a movement that is going to turn around and seeing things as the way sees them. Amen? No one is perfect. Yesterday I was talking to a brother friend of mine here in the church, and he was telling me of somebody, you know, whose wife, I think the wife has been taken away or something like that. And I thank God, because this brother told me that I knew what this man was going through, and I picked up the phone and called him and encouraged him and told him that it's going to be okay. Amen? God has called us we're going to see this. God has called each one of us to have a ministry of reconciliation. You, every single one of us, the ministry of reconciliation is not for Pastor Tony alone. Everyone has been given a ministry to reconcile one to another. If you find myself falling on a pit, please run so quickly. Call 911 and come pull me out. Don't let me drown, church. God, can you hear me? We have been called to serve one another. So put away all malice and all deceit, and all hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants long for pure spiritual milk. I can tell you that my little son longs for for milk from mama. And when she is thirsty, she is looking at that. My wife, oh, like I really need it now. She wants to have it. Amen? That by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord, listen to what the other verses say. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves are like living stones that are being built up into a spiritual house. Hallelujah. You are a living, come on, look at somebody. Tell them you're a living stone. Come on, look at the other neighbor. Tell them you're a living stone. I don't care what people tell you, you're a living stone. I'm a living stone. We are living stone, brothers. Hallelujah. And the Bible is telling us that we are growing up into a spiritual house. Glory be to God. In the Old Testament, In the Old Testament, they had a natural house. They had a temple where they would go and the priests would offer sacrifices unto the Lord. And listen what the Bible just calls you. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, you yourselves are like living stones that are built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. The Bible is talking about you and me. You are a loyal priest in the house of God. Amen? What does a priest do in the house of God? It is to minister to the Father. It is to minister to God. Because the role of the priest in the Old Testament was to offer sacrifices unto God on behalf of the people. And so we have been called as a holy priesthood. We are priests in the house of God. Turn to your neighbor, tell them you're a priest. Come on, tell them you're a priest. You're a priest. You're a priest. Come on, tell them. You're a priest. Yes, I'm a priest. The priest is not only Pastor Tony. It's not. No. You're a priest. You're a priest. Listen. As living to build up a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices. In the Old Testament, they used to offer blood. Here we offer bloodless sacrifices. Amen? In other words, when you usher into that door, you're a priest and you're coming to minister to the most holy God. What is the reason that you came into the house of God? What did your mama tell you that you have to go to the house of God because other people go to the house of God? No. We are changing that structure. But you come into the house of God because you are a priest and you come into that door ready and willing to come and worship the Most High God. You don't care who comes, whether somebody came into the house of God, but as for you and your house, you determine that I am going to go to the Empowerment Christian Center because I am a priest and I have a duty to go and minister to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so when you come through those doors, you come ready, prepared, and your heart is weary, really rejuvenated and well willing to wait for Brother Israel to king, play the piano, and you're ready to lift up your hands because you are a priest, a living stone being built into a spiritual house. We offer bloodless sacrifices. We come and offer the sacrifices of, number one, thanksgiving to the Lord. Did you know that is a sacrifice? We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. And we offer unto you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. When you're thankful to the Lord, it is a sacrifice, bloodless sacrifice. When you come and you realize what the Lord has done in your life and you're telling him, Lord, I'm thankful for what you have given me. Thank you for calling me out of sin. Thank you, God, because you've called me to affect my community. Thank you, Lord, because you've given me a ministry to reconcile and to declare the works of God, even where God is not known. Are we together? Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus, to be a holy offer sacrifices. For as it stands in scripture, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Ephesians chapter number 4 verses 20. Please go there or write it down. Ephesians chapter number 4 to 20. What are the things that we need to separate from us so that we can focus and pursue the knowledge of God through faith in Jesus Christ? Listen to what the Bible says. Chapter number 20. But you did not learn Christ this way. In other words, before those scriptures, you can start from verse 19. He's talking about how the Gentiles regarded God. But the Bible says now, even though those were the Gentiles, we have come into the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we did not learn Christ this way. This is, how did we learn Christ? Listen to verse number 21. If indeed you have had him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self. Are you listening to me? That's what the Bible says. You lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted, and in accordance with the lust of deceit. Verse number 23, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is the likeness of God that has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. 25, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth to each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Can somebody say amen? Number verse 27, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Who gives the devil an opportunity? Who can give the devil an opportunity? Come on, can you respond to me, please? Who can give the devil an opportunity? Yes, it is I who can give the devil an opportunity. It is not the Lord who is going to give the devil an opportunity to come and chastise you and kill you. But I will give the devil an opportunity. But how am I not going to allow him or give him an opportunity? It is explained there. Laying aside falsehoods, speak truth to each other, to one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Do not be angry. The Bible says you can be angry, but do not sin. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who doesn't have. Hallelujah. Verse number 21. Listen to this. It's very powerful. Let not unwholesome word. Somebody say unwholesome. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word that it is good for edification according to the need of the moment. Oh God, I don't need even to explain that. Pastor, you told us that the word of God explains itself. I don't need even to explain that. Do not let unwholesome words. Let me tell you. And I'm going to repeat this maybe in the next series that I'm going to have. Your life is a complete spiritual life. You don't become spiritual when you get into the doors of Empowerment Christian Center or any other church. But you're a spiritual being, whether you're in this church, whether you're without this church. Whether you get out of those doors, you're still spiritual. When you're driving the car, you're still spiritual. Huh? When in the midst of traffic, you're still? And when somebody cuts you on the traffic, you're still? When you serve your husband at home, you're still? And what about when you're serving the children? Let me tell you, God is really helping me. I used to believe that, you know, I need my son to be a real man. And I'm chastising him and I'm making him, you know, you got to do this, you got to do the other, you got to do this. Hey, you cannot answer me like that. You cannot treat me like this. You know, if it's my wife, I need to do this, this, and answer that, the other thing that needs to be done. But I learned, you know what? I need to be a pastor both at home. I'm a man of God when I'm driving. I'm a man of God when I'm walking. Do you cease to be a born again when you're walking?
No.
When you're taking care of that patient?
No.
God have mercy, what some of us do. When you're taking care of that patient, you just check within the room, there's no camera. And this patient has been giving you a hard time. And you need to put them in a right angle so that they can have a sleep. And they are refusing. They're in cooperative. At that time, are you still spiritual?
Now, you know what you do, church. When nobody is looking at you.
When your wife...
Let me not go there even today.
When your wife has failed to do some of our duties, do you really have mercy on her? How do you treat her? Do you really chastise her like she is a dog? Do nothing. You are a no failure loser. Why did I even get married to you? Get out of here.
Yet the same person comes into the house of God. We bring the sacrifice of bread,
even with a grin on the face. Come on, please treat that wife specially. You're still a born again Christian in that house. Even when Pastor Tony is not looking at you, God is looking at you. And he's expecting you to be spiritual.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You're a spiritual born-again Christian. You're serving Jesus Christ when you're working. The Bible says, do it as unto the Lord. Amen. Whatever thing that the Lord has given you, your job, do it as unto the Lord. We are serving God in our career. How God has placed us in our communities to effect change. We have to change our mentality of looking. Let me tell you, when our hearts is right, when we begin with our heart and we set aside all these things that beset us and we choose to pursue the knowledge of Him that has redeemed us, church, there's going to be a mental picture change so that when you look at the place where you walk, you're looking at it as the house of God. Hallelujah. I am not greater a servant more than you when you're walking. I serve you here in the church. You are serving people. You might be working in a certain company, but you know God has used that company to allow you to serve in that place. Oh, now listen to me, church. Whether you work for Baylor Hospital, God has used Baylor Hospital for you to serve and effect your gifts to those people. And they bless you in form of a check, which can pay for your needs. But essentially, you're serving God in that area. So whoever God has delegated to so that you can serve in that church, treat them as a minister of the gospel. Oh, ma'am, I'm going to serve you. Are you okay? Treat them. Be professional. Do what you're supposed to do, knowing that you're serving the Lord. Because you know what? Spirituality is a consistent thing. It is an all-rounded thing. Are you listening to me? You don't become spiritual. We don't change our positions when we come into the house of God. Now, I'm in the house of God. I have to walk in a majestic way and even change the tone of my voice because I am in the house of the Lord. Huh? Wives. When that man sometimes is so incapacitated, he's working 24/7, or he is not able sometimes to pay certain bills, how do you treat them? Do you demean them like they are nothing? Are you still a spiritual being in that house? How do you treat them? Church, I expect you to follow. See, the main thing is, if you pursue the knowledge of God, then the Lord will enlighten you. I write to you, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. You wives submit to your husbands because he is the head of the family. And when that knowledge becomes of you, boom, then it is part of you. It will be second nature. You're walking in it and you have the joy of doing it. It is a joy to serve the Lord when you're in the house of God. It is a joy to serve your wife. It is a joy to serve your husband. It is a joy to serve your children. Are you listening to me? We need to have a mental change so that we can know. Now we are moving to some things after we learn the doctrines. We are moving out to deeper things. And it's not going to be easy. I don't promise it's going to be easy. Let me tell you, for some of us who would wish, have you ever been in a family of wish? I wish some of the family members in this house can just be removed and taken away, and God brings some others. Huh? God, why did you bring this one in our family? I wish he is just taken out of our family. I know there are some of you, maybe you've been in a position, you know, guy just out of black sheep, the black of the blackest sheep in the family. Does whatever they want. They will never listen. They will never do what. They will never carry their responsibilities. You tell them to do this. They do the other. You feel like you're going to strangle them. God requires us to love them. Let me tell you, if those people are removed from your family, you would mourn. Because there are certain things, if you can just concentrate on the positive things that they do. Oh, now, I know I'm delivering somebody here. If you can just focus on the little things that they do, because I know they do some things. It could be maybe a child, it could be somebody who comes and they do certain things and they do it well. Because I strongly believe that everybody can do something better. Everybody has an ability to do something in the best of their ability. You can say, Pastor, me, you know, I've not been called, so what? Everything I try to do, there's nothing that I ever did. No, you know you did, because right now you're complaining. You complain that you're not able to do something. You're good at complaining. You're good at looking down on yourself. That is the major thing that you are good at, looking down on yourself. But if only you can focus on the things that you can do most and focus and tell them, hey, you know what? Oh, child, you did good on this thing. But I have this issue that I have to talk about. Concentrate on the positive things. Oh, Jesus. And I'm talking to myself as well. I told you I'm not perfect. But God is helping me. I'm working on it, Pastor. I'm working on it. Man, I'm having to learn so many things, but I thank God for the word of God. Because every one of us is important. And I'm going to show you, even Jesus has the need for the food. Jesus has the need of even the lowest of the lowest in the body. He doesn't cast them away. He cares for them. Because he knows what they can do. They can do something in the kingdom of God. Are you listening to me, church? Take care of one another. Okay, listen. Did I read to you Ephesians 4:20? Okay. Jesus was speaking one time to his disciples. And he told his disciples. The disciples only had one bread actually at the time. And he tells the disciples, be wary of the leaven of the Pharisees. And the disciples started wondering, oh, he is talking about us because you only have one bread and maybe we need to go to the stores and buy another bread. He told them, you guys, you don't even understand. I'm not even talking about bread. Remember, there's so many bread, and there's so much, the miracle that I performed to the 5,000 and to the 4,000, how much loaves to do him, and what a miracle it was until you collected leftovers and it filled so many baskets. I'm talking about the leaving of the Pharisee. You know what leaving is? Leaving is what? You know that thing you put on when you preparing mandazi? Yeast. Ezra, is yeast, yeah? It's baking powder? Yeah? When you put a little leaven in a dough, what does it do? It is soils. It spreads. The Bible says it spreads. And Jesus is telling his disciples, be wary of the leaven of the Pharisees. Be wary of the leaven of the Pharisees. In other words, he's telling them, do not be like the Pharisees who say one thing and they do the other. They want to tell you to do certain things, but they don't apply themselves to those principles. They want to be clean on the outside, but they don't want to what? They don't want to be clean on the outside. They value so much outwards rituals than pursuing the knowledge of God. Let me tell you, I've gone through now the New Testament. And Jesus had mercy on every single person who came. My God. Jesus never condemned anybody. Excuse me. Okay, let it go. Let it go, okay? I didn't intend to say that. No, I didn't intend to say that. But to be honest with you, Jesus never condemned anybody. It didn't matter how much sin they had. Even the Samaritan woman. She had five husbands. But Jesus never condemned the lady. My goodness, if that lady was here, she would be chasing her out of the window. Get out of here, you adulterer, you musherati. Get out of here. Jesus never condemned anybody. Actually, Jesus never did. I'm surprised. What? Can you remember instances where Jesus never condemned? Even the lady? Huh? Even you? Can you imagine Jesus of all the things, man? Thank God I'm not God. Because there's no way I could handle Judas. Number one, he was a thief. The Bible says that he used to steal from the offering basket. And he's the one who betrays the Lord with 30 shillings, 30 shekels. He betrays Jesus. Look at the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. The Pharisees brought her. Look now, what do you say about this woman? We found her doing it. Yes, we found her actually doing it. You can even look at her. And I've heard preachers say, and they didn't bring the person to which they performed the adultery with. That's not original. I've heard it from other preachers. And actually, it was true. They just brought the woman. And Jesus tells these people, if the first one who has not sinned, let it be the first one to cast the stone to this woman. And these guys realized that, you know what? The inside of the cup is dirty. Let us get out of here. And they got out of there. And Jesus was left with the woman. And she told her, where are your accusers? They are not here because even them they have sinned. So we are not going to point at a finger. God, let me tell you, I've made blunders in my life. I've been a jerk many times. If I tell you some things that I've done, you'll say, oh no, that is not my pastor from today. But I thank God because he's so merciful and he's so gracious. When I realize what I've done, I come before him and I kneel down and I choose to pursue the knowledge of him that has called me through faith in Jesus Christ. Welcome, Christy. We love you. Hallelujah. No one accused, no one, and he said, go and sin no more. But Jesus, listen to me. My God, go read, write this down. Write Matthew 23, go read. The whole chapter, is dedicated to the attack of the Pharisees. Jesus is so stern with these guys because they are telling people to do what they are adulterating the truth. Because Jesus wanted people to know that I have come that to give you life. And the Pharisees are so sternly held up to the principles of the law. I think we can read that. Can somebody find it? Matthew 23, verse number 21. Please, somebody, very quickly. We don't have time. We have to conclude now. Matthew 23. Did somebody find it or not? Matthew 23, verse number 1. Listen. Can you read it aloud so that everybody can hear?
23, verse
1. Yeah. Continue. Follow.
Then Jesus said to the crowds and to the disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do.
Do not do what? Do not do what they?
They do.
They do, because they teach you to do one thing. It's like I'm telling you, oh, come to the church. Oh, let us come and pray. And I don't come. And I want you to come and pray. Oh, come on, I'm a Pharisee. Okay, continue. Sorry.
For they do not practice what they preach. Uh-huh. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders.
Okay.
But they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them.
Okay, continue. There's something I want you to get.
Everything they do is done for men to see.
Everything they do is for? Let me tell you, church, when you walk into those doors, you didn't come because you needed, you had an appointment to come and see Minister Julius. You came through those doors because you had an appointment with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
You don't come here so that I can recognize you.
No.
Because I cannot do anything to you. Let me tell you, I have weaknesses just like you. And I need the same Messiah just as you need the same Messiah. The same need that you have, I need. I have to come here because I have the obligation to come and meet my Savior. Continue.
They make their pyrectrates wide and tassels of their garments long.
They make their robes wide. Have you seen that the ministers actually even today? Today we have, today Pharisees. They come today with their long robes and with a long, you know, called throne or a long stick, and they walk you to think they are the deputy of God. Can you continue?
They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues.
Yes,
they love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them Rabbi.
Those are what are called there? Pharisees. And Jesus Stanley. He is sternly telling people, do not be like those Pharisees. They want to show off, oh, you know, I'm a man of God in the area, and I'm the one who really prays for everybody here, and, you know, I have the knowledge of the Lord, and what can I pray for you? But when you're not there, I'm another devil. I'm the deputy of devil doing all the kinds of promoting the kingdom of the enemy. Shindu you. Listen, 1 Corinthians 5, verse number 6 to 8. Write it down. 1 Corinthians 5, 6 to 8. Your boasting is not good. Do you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. Hallelujah. The leaven that we are talking about that we need to set aside, it is boastful, it is deceit, it is malice. Planning to do evil against the other. Pull them. Those are leavens. The moment, and that's why it's very, very important to take care of the leavens within the body, because leaven spreads. If we have one person who has malice against another, it will spread like hot fire in the house. That's why we need to take care of malice. That's why we need to take care of deceit in the house, because it is like leaven. It spreads out into the whole dove. Are you listening to me? I want you to turn to your neighbor. Tell them, I'm not an agent of the devil. And I will never. I heard somebody say in the Greek, I'm not an agent of the devil. I'm not going to have malice against each other. I'm going to speak a positive word. I'm going to encourage. I'm a minister of encouragement. I'm a minister of a reconciliation. When I see my sister in trouble, I'm going to stand with them. When I see my brother in trouble, I'll be the first one to pick up the phone call and tell them, it is okay. I know and I understand what you're going through. And I'm praying for you. I will stand with you. I'll not be the one used of the devil to chastise and to bring down each other. I am not going to be the agent who carries baking powder into and pouring it into the body. Quit. Throw that baking powder out of your house. Throw it out of your body, from your person. Throw it out. That baking powder. People who come with a baking powder, what do you call it here in America? We called it baking powder back in the islands. Oh, no. Yeast? Yeah. We have people, brothers and sisters, who carry yeast. They are looking to throw into somebody. Oh, I see a certain portion. Ooh, hey. Let me tell you, the moment you throw that leaven, it begins to spread. That is why even as men of God, we are going to be stand against any leaven that we see amongst us. Because when leaven comes, it is dangerous. It is destructive.
When you have malice against each other, it spreads. It begins with one person, it goes to the other person, it goes to the... That's how the devil works it out, because he has an opportunity. But when we hold each other together in unity, the enemy will never have a chance to come and infiltrate within us, because we are members of one family. Glory to Jesus. We are a functional family. We will take our responsibilities. Glory be to Jesus. And together we will look at Christ the author and the finisher of our faith. And we'll look to him and we will tell him, I regard everything as loss compared to the surpassing knowledge of knowing you, my Lord. You redeemed me out of sin. And I need to attain. I need to come to that position of knowledge where I can understand, where I can know the reason why you called me out of sin, because there must be a reason. The Lord never didn't just only pick you out of sin just to give you a kingdom within you or to give you a heavenly home. No, you're still on earth. And we have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to impact the community. You have a responsibility to be the light in that workplace. You have a responsibility to be the light on that street, on that highway, on I-75. When you are riding your car on I-75, just because you're the righteous one there, on that whole stretch of I-75, there will never be an accident. Why? Because you're a child of God and you represent the kingdom of heaven. Is somebody listening to me? Oh, I know I'm preaching good now. Yeah. Glory to Jesus. Cleanse out of the old leaven that you may be a new lamp, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, the Passover lamb, has been sacrificed.
Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven. Let me tell you. Whatever we are going to... Okay, tell me when you've turned it on. The moment the Lord looks at it as a feast, as a fun, as a really joyride, the moment I begin to know the knowledge of God,
hallelujah, the Lord calls it a festival.
Yeah. God, look at this. It is the word of God. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. It will be a journey of faith. Glory be to Jesus. Our time is almost over. And I just touched on,
we will have to have an intentional decision inside our hearts to pursue the knowledge of God through faith in Christ Jesus against all competing ideals in our hearts. What those things that we need to take care of. We need to take away malice. We need to take away deceit. We need to throw aside everything that besets us and run the race with endurance. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you with me? Okay. The next time I'm going to have an opportunity to share, we're going to share about empty religious performance is the greatest enemy to moving forward. Empty religious performance. I don't even jump into that. Stand on your feet right now. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. I love this. Blessed is the man who applies himself to the word of God and not just the hearer. I've determined, before you can be a doer, you have to know the word. There's no way you're not going to do out of which you don't know. So number one, we have to apply ourselves to the scriptures. Study the scriptures. And I told you last time, if you don't have a Bible, buy yourself an audio Bible. You know what? Sister Joanne bought me. She doesn't even know. She's not even here. But she doesn't know what she did. She bought, let me tell you guys, man. I bought this Bible. She bought me a gift. I think it was during I can't remember whether it was a Christmas birthday. But she bought me an audio Bible, a New Testament. Let me tell you, when I'm rolling from wherever I'm going, I'm popping that scripture. I've now listened to the whole testament, and I'm saying, Lord, I'm praying, and I'm saying, God, help me. I want to learn more and more, and I want to rewind it and rewind it until this word percolates in my mind. You know, you can get the word of God in your phones now. You can download a Bible app so that even during your break, just have a few minutes to read a chapter during your break, your lunch hour. Get yourself in the word. Man, we'll never be the same again. Lift up your right hand right now as we pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, We thank you so much, Lord, for giving us an opportunity to come into your house. We thank you, Lord, even as we delve ourselves into the scriptures. I pray that we shall be agents who spread the living of the Holy Spirit. We shall be agents who spread the glory of God wherever we are, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we may be weak. We might be not even in a position to understand the scriptures. But as verse number 15 tells us, it tells us this. So let those of us who are spiritual and mature and full grown have this mind, this mindset, this pattern. Follow this. This is the pattern that Paul tells us to follow. Forgetting everything and counting everything as loss when we consider the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the spiritual pattern that we are supposed to follow in order to move forward. And the Bible also tells us this. And if in any respect you have a different attitude of mind, God will make that clear to you. There's some of us in here who may not really understand what you're talking about. But I'm praying for you, my brothers. I'm praying for you, my sisters. I'm praying for those of us who may not really come to an understanding of what I'm sharing, that God will give you clarity, because only He can give us clarity of the scriptures. I thank you, Father God, for this, that you've connected to this body. Promote them, Lord. Give them good tidings, Father. Let them be authentic representatives of Thee, even in their workplaces. Let them know, Lord, that everything they do, Lord, they do it as a minister of the gospel, as a minister of reconciliation, as a minister of the good news, in the name of Jesus. I declare that you give them the best of the best this week, and that you make their paths glad, Father. Father, I declare that every bill in this house will be paid, and every bill in their homes will be paid as well, in the name of Jesus. Let the word of God bring a 360 turnaround in our lives, so that we may learn how to please you, even with our activity and in our hearts. For all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. Can you give a Jesus a mighty hand clap?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's the word. Amen. Nothing else. I can't say anything else.